All right, good morning. So glad you guys are here. Hey, two things before I jump into the message this morning. First, the t-shirt I'm wearing, if you're a small group leader at MCC, you probably got one this morning. On it, if you're looking at it, it says gather to scatter. So if you don't know, the very first message ever preached at MCC over 45 years ago was called We Gather to Scatter. Yeah? And so we gave these to all of our small group leaders as a gift this morning. But this is why, because our small group leaders are helping people still 47, 8 years later now, keep gathering to scatter. So we gather together, we experience God's presence, we learn, we grow, and then we get out of the building and we impact the community, we impact the nations, and we see what God will do through our lives. Amen? And so if you have one of these, thank you so much because you're leading small groups and we're so thankful and so proud of you for what you're doing. The second thing I wanted to acknowledge before I jump into the message is this. My wife last week crushed it. Amen? So good. So good. She told me before she came on, she was like, never again. I'm never doing this again. But she crushed it. I wanted to say thank you because you guys are so positive and affirming. She's had so much great feedback and just so much encouragement. And so more than ever on a sermon before, ever. And so I don't know how to feel about that as a pastor that preaches a lot up here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm super thankful. So thank you so much for helping me encourage her so at some point I can reel her back into preaching again on this stage. And so thanks for doing that. Yeah, awesome. All right, if you got a Bible, you can pull it out and turn to Matthew 28. It's the last chapter in the Gospel of Matthew. This is Matthew's account of the life and ministry of Jesus. Let me set it up real quickly. So this is the end of Matthew's gospel. And so what's happening right here is Matthew's giving the account of the events surrounding the resurrection and then the ascension of Christ. And so this is the very end of the story in Matthew's gospel. And so Jesus has already gone to the cross. He's already gone to the grave. He's now risen and he's getting ready to ascend to his Father. And so these are the last moments of the life of Christ. I'm going to start at the part you all know. Verse 18 of Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, we call this statement, this proclamation, this thing, we call what? The Great Commission. We call it the Great Commission, the last words of Christ before he ascends to the Father. It's the last directive for the church. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them, baptize them, and I'm going to be with you forever, always. I'll be with you. It's the last commission, the Great Commission for the church. Now, I want to go back a couple verses earlier to verse 16, and this is what we're going to launch out of today for our topic. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Some doubted. On Easter Sunday, we had our survey and we asked you guys, what do you want to hear about? What are you wanting to learn about? How can we help you with topics that we're preaching on Sunday mornings? And one of the topics that was put in the little blank at the bottom more often than any others was this word, doubt. How do I deal with doubt? How do I help my kids or my grandkids deal with their doubts? And so today we're going to be in this topic, how do we deal when we're the ones who doubted. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would help us today. I pray, God, that you would reveal yourself to us. As we get in the word, I ask, God, that you would come and breathe on it. I pray, God, that you would come and speak to our hearts, every single one of us. I pray that those in the room that are, this is where they're at. They're doubting. They're wondering. They have questions. And I pray, God, that every person in the room, that today would be a day where we can look back to and say, this was a day that God helped to put some foundation around my faith. And help me to grow, not only in my understanding, but also in my confidence in who Christ is and in what he has done for me. God, we thank you for this time. We pray you'd speak to each one of us in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Let it be. So they worshiped and they died. Let me just kind of just tell a quick story. When I was a new dad, I had young kids, kids. And we were going to an amusement park. Anybody here like amusement parks? Anybody big fans? Anybody here like roller coasters and rides? Yes? Anybody not like roller coasters? All right. It's a pretty split group. So there's one ride that above any others for me is the one ride that is like my nemesis. I can do roller coasters. I enjoy like the Intimidator. I like all those things. But there's one ride that is the one that I really cannot do, and it just kills me. And it's this one right here. Anybody been to Disney? Yes? Anybody ridden the teacups at Disney? When I had young kids, we went to Disney and we got on the easiest ride in the park, the teacups. And immediately, when they began to move, I knew this is not a good thing for me. Because everything on my insides wanted to be on my outside. Right? And so there's a little wheel in the middle. If you've seen it, you know how this works. There's a little wheel in the middle, and you can spin that wheel like this, and you can get your cup to be spinning while the whole thing is spinning, and my insides were spinning. And so I did what any logical person would do. I grabbed that wheel with everything in my body. I'm like kicking my kids. I'm saying, get off the wheel. We're not moving this thing. And my kids are like, what's wrong, Dad? This is so much fun. Why would you not want us to spin this thing at like Mach 20? Why not jump into this all the way? But I was like, I'm going to throw up any moment now. And so I've got to stop this thing from spinning. Here's what I know. In that moment, we were all doing the same thing, but having two very, very different experiences. My kids loved it. And I was like on the verge of losing everything inside of me, right? And so we were having two very different experiences. In this moment in Matthew 28, we're seeing the same thing. We're seeing Jesus give his last commission, his last directive to the church. And it says that some were there and they were worshiping, meaning they were bowing down, they were prostrate before Jesus. That was worship. And then some were kind of looking around sideways like, are we all drinking the Kool-Aid on this? Right? They were like wondering, is this him? Like, I saw him die like a few weeks ago. Are we sure this is the right guy? Is it not like a doppelganger that stepped in when he died? You know, like, are we sure we can have confidence that this is the right guy? So some were worshiping, some were doubting. Same moment, two very different experiences. Have you ever thought to yourself, how can faith be so easy for those people? Ever had that thought? Like, this is hard for me to believe this. How can it be so easy for you? How can you believe all the stuff? Like, you have no problem when you hear 6 days of creation, rested on the seventh, and you're good with that. You have no problem when you hear Noah, all the animals in the ark in a flood. You have no problem with the Tower of Babel, God confused all the languages. Like, how can this faith thing be so easy for you? How can we all be worshiping, but I'm doubting, and you're absolutely not? Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you to respond real boldly. Who here has ever had some doubts about your faith? All right. Keep them real high. If you're here today and you're in this place, I just want you to see it, because I want you to know that many people in the room, including myself, have been in the same exact place you're in. When we lost two babies late term, back to back, we buried two little children in little caskets, back to back, within a few months of each other. I remember in that season, my wife and I having doubts and wondering, how do we reconcile what's happened with the God we claim to serve? How do we say Jesus is loving and good and kind and generous and he'll protect you and he's all those things when we've served God and we've sacrificed for the kingdom and we've been faithful and done all these things in our minds all right? So how can God, at the end of all that, take these things from us? So we begin to wrestle with a season of just kind of doubt, of wondering, of kind of like, how can we put our confidence back in this Savior, back in this Jesus when all this has happened? But let me tell you today that doubt can feel scary, right? Doubt can feel shameful. You can feel like ashamed or bad because you're doubting. But doubt is not wrong. And doubt does not disqualify you from having faith. In fact, I would say it this way. Doubt is not even the enemy of your faith. Doubt is an invitation into a deeper faith. Y'all hear me? Let me say it again. Doubt is not the enemy of your faith. Doubt, if kind of walked through right, is an invitation into a deeper, more robust, more real, more founded kind of faith. Now, I know this morning there are two groups that I'm talking to in the room. One is that group that's like right now in a season of doubt, where you're wondering, maybe you have big questions, you're not sure how you should answer those things. So you're in the season of doubt, and hopefully I'm gonna bring some kind of help to you today. But the other group are those who are walking with somebody else that is struggling with doubt. So it could be that you're walking through a time with a child or a grandchild. Maybe they're asking some big questions and you feel like, I don't know if I'm equipped to answer these questions. But if that's you, parents, grandparents, if you're in that place right now, let me just encourage you. Sometimes the questions are helping your children, helping your grandchildren to really begin to own their own faith. It's not about losing faith. It's not about deconstruction like in a bad sense of the word, but it's about kind of saying, God, how do I own all this on my own? How do I answer the questions that I have and learn and grow from them? So I want to help you today as we walk through this topic of doubt. And if you're a young person in the room, I know that everything in our society is trying to work against your faith in Christ, yeah? So I want to do my best to kind of help you, give you a little bit of foundation around your belief in Christ and how you can walk with him, not with doubt, but with confidence fully in your faith. Amen? All right, so I'm going to walk you through three different stories in the Bible, three people that Jesus ministered to that were doubters with three different reasons for their doubt. And my hope is today that you'll see maybe some of your own doubts or your own, maybe your kids' doubt in their stories, and then hopefully it will give you some help just as you walk through your own season of doubt. You ready? You ready? All right, our first character today in the Bible is this guy right here, John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Now, John, if you know him, was kind of this wild evangelist, prophet guy out in the wilderness. He's eating locusts and honey. He's kind of this wild man, and he's preaching this gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And people are coming from all over the place to hear John's message. And one day, one of those who walks up is Jesus. And in John 1, we see their interaction. Check this out. John 1, 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so John makes this declaration. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. This is the one we've been waiting for, who's going to take away the sins of the world, who's going to deal with the sin at its root in our lives. And so this is John's massive moment of proclamation. Jesus is the Messiah. Now, shortly after this, John the Baptist was going to get arrested by Herod the king, because John begins to kind of confront Herod about his lifestyle. Herod doesn't like it. He arrests him. He puts him in prison. And John's going to be there probably 18 to 24 months before he's killed by being beheaded by Herod. Okay, so 18 months in, give or take, John begins to have second thoughts. He's been sitting in prison, eating whatever for food. It's not a fun experience. It's a painful, terrible experience. And John begins to wonder, is Jesus really the guy that I thought he was? And so in Matthew 11, we see that happen. Check this out. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his own followers to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. That last phrase kind of sounds like a bit of a rebuke, right? Like, ooh, man, he's kind of telling him off, man. Like, blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble on account of who I am and what I'm doing. Let me say this. John's pain, John's doubt, and your doubts as well might come from the same source. John was doubting because John was in pain. John was in a painful, circumstance. I want you to imagine John, kind of who he was. John's been serving God. He's been prophesying in the wilderness. He's been living off locust and wild honey. He's had nothing to wear except for one change of clothes. And he's given himself over to a life of poverty and sacrifice for the kingdom of God to proclaim that message. But John, that guy, is sitting alone in a prison. He's miserable. He's isolated. He's lonely. He's probably sick at times. He's certainly weak from dehydration and lack of food. And in that place of pain, John begins to wonder, is what I said when I said this is the Christ, this is the Messiah, this is the one we've been waiting for, was I right in that? Maybe this is not the guy. Today, if you're dealing with wondering kind of, man, like in my pain, or maybe the pain you see, maybe it's loss, sickness, grief in your own life, could be in your family. It might be you look around the world's events and you see all that's happening over in places like the Ukraine or in the Sudan. You see what's happening in places like China right now. And you wonder, how can God be good if all these things are happening? How can a loving God allow these things to transpire? And maybe you're wrestling with the same kind of doubts that John was, because you have pain in your life, because you have circumstances you cannot resolve with the goodness of God and say, how can God be loving and this? I want you to look at what Jesus says next about John the Baptist. Verse 11, check this out. He says, truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. No one greater than this guy who just came with his doubts to me. So to me, two things stand out. Number one, questions don't disqualify your faith. You can have questions and not be disqualified. And I would say church should be a place where we can ask questions. Amen? That's why we're doing this series. We want to know, what do you wonder about? What are your questions? We should be able to ask these questions in a place of safety and a kind of a place of grace. But your faith, listen to me, your faith is a journey, not a destination. And you're going to have ups and you're going to have downs. You're going to have days where you feel like, I have so much faith, so much confidence, I can believe God right now for anything in my life. And you're going to have days maybe right after that where you're in a pit and you're like, I don't know if I can believe in God. I don't know if God's even real or if God's even close to my life. You're going to have ups and downs because your faith is a journey, not a destination. The second thing I see is this, is that even the greatest among us struggle with doubt. John, the one who was greater than any who came before him, Jesus says, he has moments of doubt because doubt is normal. And so if you have doubts in your life, man, let it lead you to a faith that is stronger, a faith that is more founded on reality and on experience, beyond experience, also with understanding and knowledge. Combine those things. If you're in a season right now where you're kind of wondering, should I deconstruct my whole faith? I don't know if I should even believe in these things. Let me say this to you, especially those of you who are younger. Deconstruction is okay. It's okay to think, man, should I kind of look at my faith and all the things I've grown up with in my life and maybe the home that I grew up in and some of the traditions around my faith? It's okay to look at those things, but here's the important thing. If you're going to be in a season of deconstruction, don't just carry a sledgehammer and stay there. Don't let every day be demo day. You with me? What needs to follow that moment of kind of questioning and wondering is this, a day of reconstruction. Where you begin to say, okay, so if I'm letting go of some of the traditions of my past, I need to look at the Word of God and say, God, how can I begin to found my life? How do I lay a strong foundation from the Word in my life? Let's begin to reconstruct. Let's begin to build some things back up. If you're questioning and wondering, it's okay to question. It's okay to bring your questions to God. He can handle those things. But make sure that as you go to God, that you say, God, now how do I build a robust, real faith out of what you say and your word? Amen? All right, second person we're gonna look at in the scripture is this guy right here. It's a guy that we call a man in the crowd. A man in the crowd. We don't even know his name, but he says one of the most amazing things about doubt and faith in all of scripture. So we're gonna find him in Mark chapter 9. Check this out. Mark 9. A man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Verse 18, whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. Now I asked your disciples to drive out that spirit, but they could not. Let's skip down now, 21, I believe. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has it been like this? From childhood, he answered. And verse 22 says this, it is often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, Jesus asked, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. This man's doubt, I believe, was tied to the failure of Jesus' followers. So he came with his son and he said, hey, can you guys take care of this demonic spirit that's been harassing my kid? It's trying to kill him. Can you guys cast this spirit out? And the disciples tried and failed. They failed and could not do what he asked them to do. And when he comes to Jesus then, he says, if you can do anything, I've already seen a failure, but if you can do anything, and Jesus says, anything's possible for those who believe. So what he was saying was, if your followers failed, then why should I believe you'll be better? Many people that have doubts in our world do so because they've seen the followers of Christ fail them in different ways. Because they grew up maybe in a church where a pastor fell morally. Maybe they grew up in a home where their dad said he loved Jesus, but they watched him leave their mom and be unfaithful. They saw hypocrisy of different kinds among Jesus' followers, and they said, you know what? If they're going to fail me, if they're not going to do what they said they would do, then why should I trust Jesus? And what happens is something that we call it church hurt. And I'm going to dive into that topic in about 2 weeks, but if you're in that place where you're dealing with church hurt, which is really just people hurt, right? You've been hurt by people that claim to know and love Jesus. Let me just say this. You can't build your faith in Christ on his people because they will fail you. Jesus will not fail you, but the people of God often were. And so I'm going to ask you, if you're in a place where you're like, man, I don't know if I can follow Christ because of what his people have done in my life, what his people failed at doing for me in the past, let me just tell you to ask the same thing the Father said. Just say, Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm having a hard time understanding how people that say they love you can do these things to me, how someone that claims to love you can abuse me, can abandon me. I can't understand those two things together. So I want to believe. Will you please help my unbelief? Amen? So that was the man in the crowd, number two. The third character is this. And we cannot have this topic without this guy in the mix. Are you ready? His name is Didymus. Or Thomas. Yeah. Doubting Thomas. We know this guy. So of all the people in the Bible that doubt, this is the most famous guy, Doubting Thomas. We're going to see it in John 20. Check this out. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, when it says there, the disciples were saying, we have seen the Lord. The Greek there implies this. They were saying it over and over and over again. They were so excited they had seen the Lord that they were saying, we've seen the Lord. It was amazing, Thomas. You missed it. I'm so sorry, Thomas, you weren't here, but it was incredible. We saw Jesus. But Thomas is on the outside of this whole equation. Thomas is the guy kind of this kind of watching. Remember when you maybe had like a BlackBerry and someone said there's this new thing called an iPhone and you were like, no, BlackBerry forever, right? Yeah? BlackBerry forever. And you were thinking to yourself, how are they going to have a digital keyboard? It's on the outside of the BlackBerry. It's so much better on the BlackBerry. And then what happened? Over time, you realize, oh, you know what? This is not quite as good as that thing. Thomas is a BlackBerry carrier. And he's like, you know what? I don't care what y'all say. Until I touch and feel until I can see the nails in his hands with my own eyes and the spear hole on the side with my own, with my flesh. And until I can see all those things and touch it myself, I will not believe. Because Thomas' doubt came from sincere questions. Real questions. Now, Thomas gets kind of a bad rap in the body of Christ, but the reality is Thomas is a pretty reasonable guy. Amen? Thomas is reasonable. He's like, no, I saw him with nails in his hands and feet. I saw a spear going to his side. I saw blood and water flow out. Reason says that guy's dead, and dead people don't go to graves and then get up 3 days later. That does not happen. So Thomas is like, he has a reasonable doubt based on what he's seen and experienced. And some of you guys today would say, unless you can explain to me how the creation thing works versus the Big Bang, or how Noah got all the animals on the ark, or how Jonah could possibly spend days in a whale. I mean, until you can explain these things to me, I just don't know if I can fully put my faith and my confidence in Jesus. But I want you to see how Jesus responds to Thomas. Check this out. I love this. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Let's stop right there for one moment. I love this because we see right here that Thomas is still showing up. He's got doubts. He's got questions, but he's still showing up. And today, if you're in a place where you're like wondering, can I believe all these things? Can I put my faith fully in Christ? Let me encourage you. Do what Thomas did. Just keep showing up. I believe if you'll show up, God's going to reveal himself to you in a powerful way. Amen? But the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, Thomas, you doubted me. I'm done with you. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. All right. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Thomas, stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. Then Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Thomas declares, you are the one. You're the one I've been waiting for. You are my Lord and my God. So one minute Thomas is doubting, and the next minute Thomas is shouting. He's declaring who God is. And this is what I'm believing for your life today. That some of you may have come in with doubts. You may have come in wondering, man, is all this stuff real? Can I really put my faith and confidence fully in Jesus? But I'm believing that for some of you here, that God's going to do this exact same thing for you. Because you showed up, I believe God is going to grace your life. He's going to reveal himself to you in a powerful way. He's going to show you that you can trust him, that you can put your faith and confidence fully in him. If you're here today and you're struggling with doubt, I want to give you two things, kind of two little helps for you. Number one, if you're in doubt right now, I want to encourage you, keep searching for answers. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't just have a sledgehammer and demo day like Chip Gaines. Don't just tear it all down. Ask God, Lord, here are my questions. I want to come like John. I want to come like John and say, here's the question I have. Can you answer my questions? Get some information. Learn and grow from people that have been solid in the faith for a long time. Learn from scholars and theologians and people that have studied the scriptures and they understand the questions you have. If you're going to deconstruct, make sure that you are intent on reconstructing your faith. Amen? Let me give you a couple resources. Number one, a great site called gotquestions.org. Got Questions is kind of a Google search type thing for spiritual questions. So if you have questions about anything, go to gotquestions.org and put it in there, and it will give you great biblical sound information to answer the questions you have. Second resource is this, Explore God. Explore God. Jamie Radke goes here. She's probably somewhere in the building today. Jamie's had a large hand in this organization, but Explore God is a phenomenal resource if you have questions about anything concerning faith. And so those two places you can go to answer the questions you might have. So that's the first one, ask questions. Second one is this, ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. I love the man in the crowd who said, Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. help me, Jesus. I have a measure of faith, but I'm asking you, Jesus, to reveal yourself to me and help my unbelief. Keep coming like Thomas. Keep asking questions. Keep asking Jesus to reveal himself to you. At the end of the day, the goal of this whole thing is not to have belief. Amen? The Bible says even the demons believe. The goal is to have a relationship with Christ through your faith in Christ. That's the goal. It's not about a what, it's about a who. In fact, in 2 Timothy 1, check what Paul says to Timothy. He says, I'm suffering now because I tell the good news, but I'm not ashamed because, listen to this, I know Jesus, the one in whom I have believed. He wasn't saying, I know the Bible, the thing in which I have believed. He didn't say, I know 100 scriptures by heart, those things which I have believed. He says, I know Jesus. It's not a what, it's a who. It's good to have good theology. We want that, amen? We want to have a doctrinal understanding that is solid and biblically sound. However, at the end of the day, the question is not what you know, it's who you know. It's about Jesus. So wherever you're at in your doubts, I want us to ask today for a fresh revelation of Jesus, saying, Jesus, will you come and reveal yourself to me in a new and personal way? Will you come and have a moment with me like you have with Thomas in that room? Will you come and say, this is who I am, and this is what I have for you? I'm gonna ask you to stand up across this room. We're gonna sing a song we sang earlier this morning, called More Than Able. And this song speaks to this whole idea, God, when did I stop believing? When did I kind of let go of truths that I knew and was confident in? When did I begin to doubt? When did I begin to let go of my solid faith that I had? So maybe you're here today and you're saying, man, I got some questions. I've got some pain that I'm walking through. I've been offended or hurt by some people that claim to know Christ. Whatever it may be, you're saying, today, I want a fresh revelation of the real Jesus. Not of his people, not of my pain, but I want to know Jesus more. I'm going to ask us to sing this song. As we do, but we'll say, God, I want to know you more. I want to believe that you're able. I want you to step in and reveal yourself to me. Can we all sing it together real loudly? Let's join this team. Seth's going to lead us in. Let's take this moment and really focus on God and say, God, reveal yourself to me in a fresh way.
Start to forget. When did I start to forget all of the great things you did? When did I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? You are more than able. You are more. Thank you. He's gonna move. Yes, He's gonna move. And can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do? What the Lord can do? And He's gonna have it, just at the way. Set the way you make it through. He's gonna move. Yes, He's gonna move. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? And anything is possible. Like you, Jesus. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
I feel like there's some people in the room today that you have said to yourself, I'm too far gone. God cannot save me. But because of what I've done in my past, because of where I've been, because of the mistakes that I've made, that Jesus is for people that kind of have it together and are good people. But this whole thing is beyond who I am. When I was on that ride, the teacup ride, I was holding on for dear life and trying to control that thing so it would not spin anymore. And there are some people that are here today that spiritually, you're holding on and trying to control everything. And if you'll just let go and say, Jesus, I'm going to give my life to you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, if you'll give it to Jesus, He will take your life. And He will give you faith that you think, I don't know if I can even get there. Jesus will help you get there. But you got to say, God, I'm taking my hands off. And I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye be closed. I want to give you a moment of just kind of privacy and concentration. And I want to ask you this question. Are you ready to take your hands off and give your life to Jesus? Are you ready to say, yes, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and my God. Like Thomas said in that moment, I'm going to live my life for you, Jesus. If that's you and you're ready to say yes to God today, come into my life, forgive my sins, become my Lord and my Savior. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand real high. I'll acknowledge it. You can put it back down. If that's where you're at, you say, that's me. Thank you. I see you in the back. Praise God. Yep. Awesome. I see you. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? This is your day to let go. Give your life to Jesus. Anybody else? Real quickly. Anybody else in the balcony? Thank you. Awesome, man. Praise God. Anybody else? On the floor in front of me? Thank you. Yep, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. On the wings on both sides, anybody? This is your day. Thank you. Awesome. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This is your day. I'm going to ask you to pray together. We're all going to pray with those who raise their hand. And you're gonna pray a prayer inviting Jesus to come into your life and become your Lord and your God. This is your day. Everyone say, Jesus, I'm taking my hands off. I give my life to you. I give my sin to you. Every mistake, I give control to you. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to lead me. I ask you to live in me. I am no longer my own. I believe that you went to the cross. You shed your blood so that I could be forgiven. You took the penalty for my sins. Thank you, Jesus. Now I give my life to you fully. From this day forward, come doubt, come hardship, come pain, I choose to live my life for Jesus. I belong to you. Thank you for giving yourself for me. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, come on, amen, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I want to pray for everyone else in the room. Those who are in a season of doubt or maybe walking with somebody who is, I just want to pray that God will reveal himself to you or through you in huge ways. Amen. So God, we thank you right now that you're able, that we can bring all of our doubts to you, and we just declare that anything is possible for those who believe. And so we just say right now, Jesus, we have some faith, but we want to have a lot of faith. So I pray for every doubter in the room, every Thomas, every John the Baptist, every man in the crowd, I pray, God, that wherever we're at, I ask, God, that you would help us, that you would resolve questions, that you would bring a strong and robust, real faith, God, as we walk through this season. If we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of doubt, I pray, God, today that you would keep us walking through it, and we come out the other side with a stronger faith because of it. God, we thank you. We bless you. We give ourselves to you fully. Help us, Lord, today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for being here today. If you want to receive prayer, make sure you get prayer. Come to the front. We'll be up here to pray for you. We love you guys.